ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते
वासुदेवाय। Continuing discussion of Sri Vishnu Sahasranama. The last name that I discussed was Tanu. And there's one meaning of it which I didn't discuss, so I'll go on to that now. And that meaning is merciful, that the Lord is very merciful. I don't know how this is derived from the Sanskrit, I must admit. So the name merciful. Now that Krishna is merciful is well known among the Vaishnavas. Srila Prabhupada writes in the Krishna book, you see, he's so merciful, even though in the name of serving him we make so many disturbances. But Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, and this statement is no doubt derived from previous acharyas, that among all the qualities of the Supreme Lord, which are unlimited, that's one of the names in Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, is Anantasri, unlimited opulence. So among all his qualities and opulences, the most important is his mercy upon the devotees. And thus we find many names of Krishna which describe his mercy. Karuna Nidhi, for instance, which is a well-known name here in Tamil Nadu because of a prominent person who has no faith in Krishna. He's famous now. He won't be famous long. Famous means in a small sphere. He's very influential. Well, he's out of power now, but still very influential in Tamil Nadu. Known somewhat in other parts of India, practically unheard of outside of India, except for Tamils outside of India. Indian Tamils, well, not Malaysian, Sri Lankan Tamils, Singaporean, Swiss Tamils. They may not know so much about him. And virtually unknown anywhere else, despite his endeavors to put a TV in every home in Tamil Nadu so his own TV station can broadcast his glories. So when we say Karuna Nidhi here, most people think of that person. Have to be a little careful what you say, as if he was really Karuna Nidhi, he wouldn't have to be so careful, but as he's not, you have to be a little careful what you say. But the real Karuna Nidhi, who is Krishna, the ocean of mercy, he will be continued to be known on a much wider scale forever. So there are names like this for Krishna. Dayanidhi, Kripalu, there are different words for mercy or compassion or similar words in Sanskrit, and which the most common are Daya, Kripa, Prasad, Karuna, Anukampa. These are, what's that?
Grandson of Karuna Nidhi, Daya Nidhi.
The grandson of Karuna Nidhi is Daya Nidhi. Let's hope he turns out better. So there are various words with different shades of meaning which indicate mercy. And this quality is very much emphasized by the Vaishnavas, because without the mercy of Krishna, where are we? Who are we? It's only his mercy that he makes us it gives us any opportunity to associate with him, just like we find, for instance, in Mahabharata, that Drona and Drupad were childhood friends. Later, they went their separate ways, and Drona became an absolutely indigent Brahmana. And Drupad became an opulent king. So, although they'd been friends in their childhood, when Drona went to visit Drupad, I mean, it rhymes, right? Yeah, I think. Then Drupada rejected. He said, "You can't be my friend. Oh, come on, what are you? You're just a miserable beggar." Which, well, that could be said to be the whole cause of the Mahabharata war, because... Anyway, let's keep on the subject here. But Krishna, on the other hand, although he was far more opulent than any king, as the prince of Dwaraka, and although his friend Kuchela, he's called in Tamil, I believe, Kuchela, all right, otherwise known as Sudama, when he went to see Krishna, Krishna immediately welcomed him, and there was no question of any envy. It's a very similar situation. The two childhood friends, or students, co-students. One had become an indigent Brahmana, the other had become an opulent king. The indigent Brahmana went to visit the opulent king. But because of difference of stature, people cannot be friends unless they're of the same stature. You can't. That's why in marriage, there's generally some. I've heard of cases of girls from a poor family not wanting to marry into a rich family. The parents don't want it because they think that the girl will be mistreated and that they themselves won't be properly respected by their in-laws, like that. But Krishna is not like that. He's very merciful. He has absolutely nothing to gain from us. That's what Drupad did. To Drona, you know, how am I going to relate with you? Those days are gone. We have nothing in common. But Krishna doesn't need anything from us in any way. But his nature is very kind. So he extends himself. He not only does he allow people to come into his circle who are totally inferior to him in all respects, but he canvasses for them to come. He comes to this world to come and say, "Come and join me." Even though others have turned away from him, he comes to bring them back. And when he's with his devotees in the spiritual world, especially in Vrindavan, he doesn't make himself seem as if superior, because he brings himself down, so to speak. He doesn't show all his opulences, and he raises his devotees so that they also can do amazing things, and sometimes he makes a devotee look more than himself, just like this Sri Vishnu Sahasranama is spoken by Bhishma Dev, who was speaking to Yudhishthira to convince Yudhishthira of the righteousness of his, namely Yudhishthira's actions, which Krishna wasn't able to do. Of course, Krishna was able, but he made it like that to make his devotees seem to be more than himself. There are many instances. Ram is famous for constructing a bridge of floating stones so that he could go to Lanka, but Hanuman just jumped. Ram can jump also, but he had Hanuman jump, and Hanuman finds Sita. While he took the help of the monkeys, What does he need the help of monkeys for? But that is his kindness to them. Not only that, but even people who are most sinful and most fallen, Krishna will immediately forgive them if they just say, okay, that's it, finish. Savadhaman parityaja mamekam sharanam raja. All right. Or even if such a person, after taking to devotional service, due to bad habits, they still do some abominable action, still Krishna says that such a person is a sadhu. He is not a rascal. Because he's made his determination. Api chet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananya bhag. He's made his determination to serve me, sadhu. Therefore he should be considered a sadhu, not an asadhu. Don't think that he's wrong. Don't think that he's a rascal. And practically the whole of the... We find in the Bhagavatam all these principles, how Krishna is so merciful, how he maintains his devotees, even if they do wrong. We find this is his mercy on them. This Ajamiya, he did wrong practically throughout his life. But because he had been a devotee in the early part of his life, Krishna arranged to save him. Chitraketu, he shouldn't have insulted Lord Shiva. So some apparent reaction, but Krishna arranged to bring him back. Indra makes mistake after mistake after mistake, but Krishna, he arranges to that he overcomes his mistake and he goes back. Last night we were discussing how Krishna, he's merciful even to the demons. Hiranyakashipu, he was merciful to Hiranyakashipu by killing him. Hiranyakashipu maybe wouldn't appreciate that very much. But one thing that Hiranyakashipu, he wanted to be immortal. But he could not, he wanted to be immortal by living forever. But Nrsingadeva, by killing him, made him immortal. You know, how do you kill someone and make them immortal? It seems to be contradictory. Is immortal, because we're discussing here now today. So his name is living on. Kirtir Yasya Sajivati. One whose fame lives on, they live on in their fame. And, of course, you could maybe say in the case of Hiranyakashipu, Akirti Yasya Sajivati. Kirti means the glorification of his good qualities. So Hiranyakashipu didn't have any good qualities whatsoever. But still, he had some desire, and Krishna fulfilled that. And so we're chanting every day, Dalita Hiranyakashipu. We're singing his name every day. How about that? Karunanidhi is not going to have that. Well, he will have it because his name's in Vishnu Sahasranama, but people will be remembering Vishnu and not him. So his mercy, what is there to say? Practically the whole Bhagavatam shows his, all the narrations, they show his mercy on the devotees and even on the non-devotees. Especially as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is, well, Krishna also is killing so many demons. He's so merciful to them. That famous verse, how he's so merciful to Putana that he killed her. And in this way, removed her offense. And at the same time, because in a previous life she had some desire, positive motherly desire toward Krishna. Krishna fulfilled that. How merciful is Krishna? And as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is just overwhelming, flood of mercy. Ocean, real ocean of mercy. Just patra patra vichana hina histana stanje jaha pai tar deya prema dan. Without considering who is fit and who is not fit. Without considering what is a proper place or what is not a proper place. The pancha tattva, they distributed love of God to everyone. So Panchatattva, within the Panchatattva, who's that? Generally we think of Panchatattva, we think of Sri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu, Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Gadadhara, and Sri Vas. But, my dear friends, to borrow a line from one of our favorite Swamis, you are all part of the Panchatattva, because it's Sri Vas Adi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. So when we say Panchatattva Ki Jai, in one way you're praising yourself. Of course, the devotee never thinks I'm a devotee, but devotees are supposed to distribute the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu freely to all. So the mercy of Krishna. Somehow in Vishnu Sahasranam we don't, yeah, I was saying Karuna Nidhi, but it's actually the name's not. We don't find them, like Karuna Mai, Kripa Mai, Dayanidhi. I don't know why that is. It just struck me. There's no such name. I just checked through, I just read through the thousand names. There's no such name for some reason or other. Difficult to understand. We may hypothesize about that. Yes, the mercy of Krishna could be discussed unlimitedly. Any one of these qualities of Krishna, actually each name suggests many qualities, and each quality can be discussed unlimitedly. So especially the mercy of Krishna could be discussed unlimitedly, just like that, who is that? Vedanta Deshika, I believe. He was asked, someone asked him to glorify the feet of the Lord, and he said, well, that's too high for me. I'm not up to that now. I'll glorify his shoes. Then he made 1,000 verses praising the shoes of the Lord. So the mercy of the Lord, how much is that to be glorified? But I will go on to the next name here, listed as number 29. It depends how you break the sandhi in the Sanskrit. Actually, each syllable could be taken as a name. So this name is given Bhutadi. Bhuta means all things in existence. It means all living beings, and it also means the elements, just like we often hear the term Panchamahabhuta, which means the gross elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether. Of course, ether doesn't seem to us to be gross, it's subtle, but in comparison to the others, the three subtle elements, man, buddhi, ahankara, mind, intelligence, and ahankara, which is usually translated as ego, it's considered gross. So the elements. So adi means, it means origin is one meaning. Another meaning is etc. So you could say all that exists and everything else. So in another way, that's not any of the meanings given here. So I just, you could say, made it up, so to speak. But seems to, a Sanskritist might correct me, but seems to be correct. So he is all that is, plus even if you think you can think of anything else, he's that also. Adi, that means the beginning. So in the sense of origin, he is the origin of all living beings, of all that exists, of all the elements, as we know from Bhagavad Gita, aham sarvasya prabhavaha, Everything is generated from me. That's another name coming up soon, Prabhava. Then Bhumirapo Nalo Bayu Kangmano Buddhire Vicha Ahankara Iti Yang Me Bhina Prakriti Ashtadha. The Krishna describes his separated energy, his different energy, that which is different to him in one sense. That is in eight divisions, his material energy. So he's the origin of that. In Bhagavad Gita there are so many statements of Krishna that he's the origin of everything. So I'll just have a quick look. Yeah. Yeah, Shankara gives the same meaning. Now Parashara Bhattar, he often gives somewhat different meanings to that which you might consider to be the obvious or straightforward meaning. Doesn't mean it's wrong in any way. He describes Bhutadi to mean he who is eagerly resorted to by all, because he is most desirable. So this suggests a meaning like Krishna, who is attractive to all. But as many of these names, they have very similar meanings, but somewhat subtle shades, nuances of different meaning. So if we say that Krishna, or Krishna does mean, whether we say or not, Krishna means all attractive. But another way of stating that is that he who is sought after by all because he is so desirable. So it's the same thing, but from another perspective. One is from the starting with Krishna, or he attracts all, and then another meaning is that all living beings, they go toward him. Like iron filings, they go toward a magnet. Now the next name, Nidhir Vyayaha, which is Nidhi Avyayaha. Nidhi means an ocean or a treasure, and Avyayaha means inexhaustible. So both of these names, they are given elsewhere. Avyayaha is given, it's already discussed in Vishnu Sahasranama. So this name is, these two are taken as one name in this context. The inexhaustible treasure or inexhaustible ocean. In the commentary by, we only have this translation of the Baladev Vidyabhushan, but it's not very clear whether the translations or the meanings of the names are given by him, because but anyway, in this, it says he, Nidhi is here, and Avyayaha are given as separate names here, but not by Parashara Bhatta or by Shankara. It doesn't mean it's wrong. He gives Nidhi as he gives happiness to all. Be happy. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And Avya, imperishable, he gives us another name. So Nidhir Avyayaha, it's a very sweet name. Inexhaustible treasure. You may have some treasure, but at some point it'll be finished. However much money you have, if you spend and spend and spend, it will be finished. But with Krishna, there's no question. Again, that avyayaha, that in discussing avyayaha, the obvious, you have to turn around a little bit. The verse comes, purnam, om purnamadaha purnamidam purnat purnamudachate purnasya purnam adaya purna eva vishishyate, which I presume you all know the meaning of. If you don't, look it up. You should know. Everyone sitting here has been connected with devotees for some time, so that should be one of the first things you learn. So an inexhaustible treasure, that Krishna, he will, similar to the name Sthanu, in the sense of being fixed, Krishna's fixed in being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's no time that he has an existential crisis and thinks, well, actually I'd like to be a punk rocker or something like that. Well, if he does think like that, well, he can be anyway if he wants to. Of course, we don't have any record of Krishna having such silly desires. But he's fixed in what he is. He's fixed in his mercy to the devotees. So, in the same way, he doesn't run out. The treasure of Krishna. Devotees, they treasure Krishna. They treasure thinking about Krishna, about Krishna's glories. It's not something that runs out or becomes stale. I've been going to Mangaladi for so many years and it's just the same thing, just boring. It's not like that at all. It's an ever enriching experience. That is the nature of Krishna. Imagine, maybe that would be the some like prison punishment if you told people that you have to get up every morning before 4 o'clock in the prison, and then we take you to a place where they play the same song every day for 35, how many, almost 40 years. They think, ah, I go crazy. The same song, whatever the song is, after hearing it for 40 years, you wouldn't want to hear it again. But with the Hare Krishna mantra, we do want to hear it again, because Krishna is of a completely different quality to that of the mundane, which is that it is very much exhaustible. We soon become tired of anything we do. On the material platform, if we think of anything that we like to do, we soon become exhausted, either physically or mentally or emotionally or whatever. Just like you might like to play cricket. There are many people in India who like to play cricket, but if we tell you, oh, you like to play cricket? Yeah, so okay. Now we're going to put you on a 5-day cricket match with no breaks, non-stop. Well, you'll become physically exhausted. Or, even for the most avid cricket fan, if they were stuck in front of a TV watching all the replays of all the test matches that had ever been recorded, there'd come some point in time when you'd want to do something else. And if they forced you to watch it on and on and on and on and on, there'd come some point in your where you'd never again in your life want to watch a game of cricket. Even though you were known as a cricket fan, an addict. But with Krishna, it's not like that. Because his very nature is different. Rather than becoming stale, everything about Krishna becomes fresh. So in that way he's inexhaustible also. His qualities, his opulences, not only do they not decline, but they increase. And even if you take one of his qualities, then anyone who meditates upon them or glorifies them, he doesn't become fed up of doing that, but he becomes more and more inclined to do so. Just like with Vedanta Deshika, you may think, well, how did he write 1,000 verses on the shoes of the Lord? He might reply, well, I only wrote 1,000 verses. Sorry, I didn't give it, few introductory thoughts. So another point about treasure that's made by the commentators is something you keep very safely. It's not something that you just throw out to everyone. That biblical example is there of not throwing pearls to the swine. Swine is an outdated, archaic English word for pigs. You don't throw pearls to pigs. They cannot appreciate. There's absolutely no way they can appreciate what is the value of a pearl. So in the same way, we don't glorify Krishna to persons who are of pig-like consciousness, who have no appreciation. Nidhi meaning ocean. Shankara gives the meaning that Vishnu is the one, written here with a capital O, the one. In which, during the times between the manifestation, Bhutadi, he from whom everything manifests. So in the spiritual world, there's no question of manifestation in the sense of sthiti, sthiti, pralay, creation, maintenance, destruction, as in the material existence. So in between pralay, destruction of the material world, and recreation. Now here we're talking about mahapralay. There are various pralays or destruction. There's one that's going on at every second. Not even every second, even lesser than every moment. Things are deteriorating. Our bodies are so many, according to modern scientific analysis, so many cells in our bodies have decayed. So that's going on. And then there's the partial destruction of the universes, just like at the change of every manu, which 14 in the day of, 14 in the day of Brahma. And then at the end of the day of Brahma, there's a big destruction. And when Brahma dies, then the whole thing's finished. And the whole universe is destroyed and everything enters in the body of Vishnu. So in that sense, Vishnu is also the great ocean into which everything enters. And then again, Bhutadi. Everything comes out, everything goes back in. Now, the next name, Sambhavaha. This name, again gives the meaning of birth. Literally, bhava means coming into existence, which is very much related with the term bhuta, which means that which has come into existence. So, let's see first of all what the... Sambhava means he who comes into existence, or more precisely, he who manifests himself. Because Krishna doesn't come into existence, but he appears to. The term for Krishna's appearance in this world is avibhava, which means coming manifesting, as opposed to Tirobhava, his manifestation is wound up. So he appears to come into being as is well known in Bhagavad Gita. Lord Krishna says, Sambhavami yuge yuge, which literally means that he comes into being in every age, but as prior to that, he has stated, Ajopi sanavyayatma bhutanam ishvaropi san prakatim swamadhishtaya sambhavami atmamayaya. Before saying that I manifest in every age, he sambhavami, he says, he first of all explains that his sambhava, his birth, apparent birth, is not like that of others because he is unborn. He is avyaya atma, his very being is imperishable. He is the controller of all those who do come into being, all the bhutas, bhutanam ishvarupisam. Nevertheless, he manifests himself within his energy, within his prakriti, by his own desire, atma maya, by his own desire, by his own mercy, by his own illusion. People think of him as part of that maya, part of the illusion. So it's very important to understand these terms because, as I often say, if we don't understand properly, then we'll misunderstand. And if we misunderstand, then we lose everything. So, even though he is like a treasure which is hidden or not manifest to everyone, nevertheless, he manifests himself. He himself comes forth and manifests himself. But then again, he's not recognized. Again, the pearl among the swine. Nahang prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavita muro yang nabi janati loko mam ajam avyayam. Again, the term avyaya. So, he manifests, but he is not recognized by persons who are fools. Na lakshyase murhadrisha. You are not recognized by people who see with foolish vision. In other words, those who are fools, Kunti says to Krishna. So he manifests atma maya by his own energy, by his own wish, in various forms, such as Nrsimha, Matsya, Kurama. He manifests in various forms. Sambhava can also mean son, S-O-N, putra. There's so many different words for son. So, Vallabhacharya, and he describes, one of the names he gives for Krishna is Nanda Sambhava. Then we have in Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna describes himself, what is that? Mahadyoni, I got the verse because I knew I'd forget it. I got it too. Mamayoniya Mahadbrahma Tasmin Gharabham Dadhamyaham Sambhava Sarvabhutanam Tato Bhavati Bharata. Krishna says, the total material substance called Brahma has its origin in me. It's the source of birth of all living beings. And it is that, from that, by which I make possible or bring into being all the living beings. So some synonyms of the word sambhava, in at least in Bengali and in Hindi also, the common meaning of Sambhava is possible. Sambhava, possible. Sambhavana, possibility. So that's the common meaning which we have. Sambhava, that could be used. So Krishna makes everything possible. Nothing is possible without Krishna. Krishna makes the impossible possible. As that verse which credited to Shankaracharya, that was this. Mukam karoti. What is it? Mukam karoti vachalang pangung lang hayate girim. Yat kripatam ahang vande paramananda madhavam. That he says, by the mercy of Paramananda Madhava, the dumb man speaks. The lame man crosses mountains. Pangunga. Yeah, so everything is possible by him. On the other hand, even easy things can become impossible if somehow we don't get the mercy of the Lord. So this also, the word Sambhava, that also suggests his existence in this world as the time factor. According to the time factor, sometimes it's favorable for the devotees, sometimes favorable for the demons. At some times, everything seems possible. Just like at certain point in American history, it seemed like, no, anything's possible. Someone can come, young man with nothing except the clothes he's wearing. And in America, if you work hard and you're rich, you can become a millionaire, which in those days millionaire was a rare thing, because a dollar meant it had more value than now. Still, to be a millionaire is not a small thing. So everything's possible. There's a time. In the 1960s, which began around 1965, I guess, what they call the 1960s, it seems anything possible. You can be among the hippies. You can do all kinds of things which were no one had ever thought of before. You can say things and do things and act and dress in certain ways. There's a feeling that everything's new and fresh and coming into being, Sambhava. Everything's possible. And there are certain times where nothing seems possible, that you just can't do anything. It's just, everything seems, whatever you try, it just doesn't seem to work. To give a minor example, a few days ago I was in a meeting in Mayapur, and it was terrible. We all sat there all day. We couldn't get hardly any work done. Everyone was falling asleep all the time. Although we'd come to arrange this meeting in advance. It was a 3-day meeting, so we made it up for it the other 2 days. So it was like we're trying, and we really wanted to do it, but we were all exhausted. And someone who managed to stay awake, he'd say something, but everyone else would be asleep. And then the others would wake up, and he'd fall asleep. And somehow we managed to get some things done. And at the end of the day, to use that worn-out expression, but it actually was the end of the day, the devotee who was keeping all the notes announced that somehow or other, I lost everything. So all our resolutions and everything was all gone. And the next day we have to try and reconstruct it, which we still haven't done. So it's just like something the astrologers would say, there's something which made it not possible. So Krishna makes the what is possible, what is not possible. Okay, some meanings of the word Sambhava from the Sanskrit dictionary produced. This is Monier Williams, which may not be the best because, They were who they were. They were Western Indologists. But anyway, it's considered more or less a scholarly work. So Sambhava, he describes as being or coming together, meeting, union, intercourse, especially sexual intercourse. So, Krishna can be described or understood in every way. Finding room in, being contained in. So everything's within Krishna. He's the receptacle in which everything exists. Birth, production, origin, source. Yeah, that we've discussed. The being produced from. So he is both the who gives birth to everyone. That means the name Sambhava. And he who is born from Nanda. So both meanings can be there. Cause, reason, the reason for something, occasion. So Krishna as the cause of everything, that's a very important point, which that is the whole of philosophy could be said to the philosophical search can be said, or a major part of philosophy is to ascertain cause and the relationship between cause and effect. But we can't find the ultimate cause because it becomes too subtle for our intellect and senses to penetrate. So if we look for the, just like some people they ask, well, if God is the cause of everything, then, or God made everything, then who made God? But it's a silly question in two ways, because the idea that there's an infinite regression of causes doesn't make any sense. And the very meaning of the term God is the ultimate cause. So to say who caused God is a silly question. So the existence of the Supreme Being who is the ultimate cause of everything is even according to the rules of logic and philosophy, it's actually a much better proposition. Even if we start off with the idea that we, starting with our own intelligence, which isn't a very good asset to try to understand everything, but even if we take that as the measure by which we will understand everything, if we accept that there is an ultimate cause, it's actually a much better proposition than accepting that there isn't an ultimate cause. And then who is that ultimate cause? Well, folks, it's Krishna. Just like, who is supreme? Krishna is supreme. That's the answer. Then, being brought about, occurrence, appearance, being, existence, these are all names or ways in which the name Sambhava can be understood. He is existence. The very fact that there is existence, which some people are stupid enough to argue about, means that there is Krishna. He is existence. Nothing exists without him. He is the very principle of existence, and he is existence itself. And yet, of course, he is separate. Nachamatthani bhutani. Then, capacity, ability, possibility. So these words, capacity and ability, in English, can be used as synonyms of possibility in certain contexts. If you say that, please give us permission to have a Harinam in the city, and the policeman may say, it is not possible for me. Means he doesn't have the authority, the capacity, the ability to do so. This big heavy weight, it is not possible for me to lift it. Means you don't have the ability to do so. So in certain contexts, capacity and ability can be used as synonyms of possibility. So for Krishna, there is nothing beyond his ability. He's able to do everything. Which makes it all the more wonderful when we find Krishna who lifts up the Govardhan hill, the little finger of his left hand, sometimes appears to struggle to lift up his father's shoes and bring them to his father. He appears to be a helpless child. So these are some of the ways in which Krishna becomes so sweet. To see that he who is holding up the whole universe, what to speak of a little hill called Govardhan, millions of universes, but he appears to struggle to lift up his father's shoes. So he's all these names, while demonstrating the greatness of Krishna, they also give us a clue to his sweetness, because he's so great, yet he appears as if helpless. Although he can do everything, and whatever is happening is only by his energy, he feels himself incapable. Napareham, I am incapable. Well, that's another case altogether. Then some other meanings which are in compatibility, adequacy, acquaintance, intimacy. These are all meanings of the word sambhava, which can be understood in relation to Krishna. Okay, well, that's all. I'll do it for now. Different shastras. So, Hare Krishna, any comment, question? Sthanu ki jai. Bhutadi ki jai. Sambhava ki jai. Unusual way to say it. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.